comes Willie Morgan.
Welcome back to the Willie Morgan Show. As ever, I'm your host, Callum McFadden, joined by Manchester United legend, Willie Morgan. Before we start today, Dave Evans, your book has been posted. This is the one I have here, but you'll have your hands on this book very soon. And as you're listening, Dave, you might even have it now. So it's good that he's got his book, isn't it, Willie?
Well, it is. I hope you enjoy it. And as I said, I look forward to your remarks after you've read it. So... anyway, hopefully it's arrived today. If not, it'll certainly be there by tomorrow. Anyway, thanks for entering the competition. And as I said, one of my great friends was called Dave Evans, who lived a couple of doors down from me in Sprotwell Terrace in Sauky. So it's nice to hear Dave Evans again.
In terms of yourself, Willie, I believe you've got a few people you want to say hello to in today's show.
Yeah, one or two. The first of all, obviously, the result yesterday, the Celtic match. Adam McQueen, who's they live down here. Steve McGarry, Adam McQueen, they're big Celtic fans, and they're based down here, live down here. And in fact, Adam's invited me up to one of the matches. They have whatever season tickets and all sorts of things up there. So. And also to Dan Healy, who I met today for the first time. Absolute nice guy. And he's a Man United supporter. So we're all in good stead at the moment, Callum. Everything's good.
When we spoke at the weekend, you were telling me you were watching the Celtic game. The big question is, do you think Celtic will win 10 in a row this season?
Yeah, without a doubt. They looked, you know something, that's the best I've seen them. I know it's Hamilton, didn't matter. They were moving the ball about quick. It completely different. It looked really, really good. So I see no reason why we don't win it 10 in a row. And John Higgins to win the World Championship. He's gone for, is it 4 in a row John's going for? Which would be phenomenal. So... yeah, after watching the match on yesterday, I can't see any reason we wouldn't do it again.
To start our show, as we all often do, by talking about Manchester United and what's going on at the moment, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came under a lot of criticism when he was given the Manchester United job. A few people on the wonderful world of Twitter remarked that Ole was a PE teacher and he'd be sacked very quickly. I don't think they're saying that now that the club have finished third and they could win the Europa League as well.
You know, what he's done is amazing. Now, when he came, of course, I was asked the question, what do you think? Yeah, I think it's great. By the way, anyone other than Mourinho would have been great. Stevie Wonder would have been great. But Ole said at the time, he's young, give him a chance. You've got to give him time, but he's the right guy. More so because he was a great player himself, the lad. So he knows what he's looking for. He's not a coach. He's not somebody who's, you know, come out of school and got a coaching badge and all of a sudden he's an expert on how to play football. He could play. And it makes a massive difference. And of course, players respect people who were great themselves. You know, they command respect and not demand respect. So... I think what he's done is amazing since he came. I mean, we were in deep trouble and he's turned it round. To finish third is incredible. I didn't think he'd do that, to be honest. You know, I thought if he gets us in the top six, in the position we were in, we'd be fantastic. So, no, it's brilliant. And still in, maybe get a bit of silver, you never know. But you know, it's a 5-year project. I've said all along, he needs 5 years. Don't forget, he's got most of the same players that got us in a bad position still there. He's got rid of a couple, especially Sanchez. What a great result that is. He's gone. But it's going to take time. There's quite a lot more need to go. But what he's done, he's bringing the new lads in, the people he's brought in, and the young lads he's bringing through. at least we're playing attacking football again. I know there's a lot of cracks still. And it's a 5-year project. Now, he's been here, what, a year now? Another 4 years. So if we get any silverware in between, it's a bonus. I mean, that's a bonus. I just think we've got to let him get on with the job and stop saying, is he the right man? I mean, it's amazing. Still, people say, oh, do you think he's the right man? Of course he's the right man. Just let him get on with it. And I wish him all the best. And I said, we're behind him every step of the way.
One of the things that I want to get your perspective on is Alexis Sanchez's number. He was number 7. Would you say he's up there with one of the worst number 7s Manchester United have ever had?
Was he number 7 or number 70? I'm not... I must have missed the O. Did we miss the O? No. He was just the wrong player for Man United. He was very, very poor. And it's, you know, good riddance. Mourinho, I tell you what, he should think shame of himself to pay him the money he paid him. And the guy just not good enough. So they must have do they have the same agent, Callum? I'm not really sure. I don't know. Anyway, it's just glad he's gone. And then get rid of the rest of them now. All the other ones. And I'm sure he knows what he's doing. But it's time. You can't just unload no one will take them. It'll be one at a time and you'll gradually, I say, another 4 years, we'll be up there at the top again, without a doubt.
I've got to ask you about Jadon Sancho. He's coming in, and the expectation is that he will wear the number 7 jersey if he comes in. What advice would you give him coming into United, considering he is 20 or 21, so he is quite young? What would you say to him if you had the chance to speak to him before he signs for the club?
Come, enjoy the traditions of the club. Attacking football, he plays attacking football, he's in a great forward line. He'll come into a great forward line with Greenwood, Rashford, Martial. You know, it's a great start. It's a great start for him to come into that sort of team. So, and you've got Fernandes in midfield now, and McTominay. You know, as I've said before, for every Fernandes, you need a McTominay. You need the Nobby Styles. I compare it to Nobby Styles. You know, put his foot in, win the ball for you, and let the other lads create. And it's a blend. And I think that's what Ollie's building. So I think the lad's coming into the team at the right time, and I think he'd do very well. If he reproduces what he's doing at Bayern, he will do very well.
It's definitely going to be an interesting signing for United, and one that you think has to be an improvement at the very least on Sanchez, and hopefully can add to the squad as well. What else do you think Manchester United need? There's been lots of talk about a centre-half. I know in the last podcast, the last show we had, that you weren't particularly a big fan of Harry Maguire. Do you think he needs someone else alongside him with pace, because he just lacks it?
Well, you know, if it was me, I'd be playing 3-4-4. I'd have four forwards. I'd have 3-3-4. I would play three midfield, four forwards, and three at the back. And you need someone with pace in the middle at the back, and we don't have that at the moment. He will find that. And let's play attacking football. You know, old adage, but it's absolutely true. Best form of defence is attack. So hopefully that's what we'll be doing in the future, attacking. And he's gradually putting a team together that can do that. So we'll see. Defensively, we're dreadful. We're dreadful. You could take a number 10 bus through there. They're just not good. And I say we need one more in midfield. I think McTominay and Fernandes, and get one more, and we can turn into a great team again.
In terms of United as well, how excited are you at the prospect of them competing in the Europa League for these next few weeks, because football, obviously, as we know, the Premier League is over, but how nice would it be to watch them play attacking football and win a trophy?
Well, I mean, obviously, they'll go through the first leg, makes the second leg. But I think it's just, it's encouraging. And the nice thing is, you can experiment. You can bring in young players. It can do all sorts of things with Europa League. And everyone says, oh, yeah, it's a Tanner League. It's not. You know, silverware. And it's a great platform to get players used to that. And then for the Champions League next year. And it's a great sounding for them to do this now before next year. Whether we win it or not, well, who knows? But I think just the fact that we're there, I think we've got a great chance. I think the fact they finished third in the league will give them a massive confidence boost. And hopefully we can go in and win it. But if we don't, it doesn't matter. It's still a great platform. So can only keep our fingers crossed, Cam.
Absolutely. That's the way to be. And in terms of yourself, I've got to get a story from you, because I've been told that you were playing golf with Brian McFadden, your good friend, this week, and a surprise special guest as well.
Yeah, that was last week. Brian, he phoned me up the night before and said, oh, will you make a four up tomorrow? And I said, well, he said, oh, come and make a four up. I've got a pro coming to play with us. And also another friend of both of ours, Cole Page, who's a singer. So we played at Mere, as we do, and introduced me to the lad from a distance, of course. We're still social distancing down here. And he said, Xander. I said, where are you from? South Africa. Oh, I said, okay. And what you... So I'm living in Altrincham at the moment. That's where we've been locked down. So I said, oh, okay. So we started off. I said, and are you with Chubby Chandler? And he said, no, I'm not with Chubby. He was with someone else. So anyway, he was my partner. We threw the balls up and I got him as a partner. And I thought, I hope he can play. He's a young pro, but I hope he can play. Anyway, yeah, he could play. He was fantastic. And he hit the ball miles. So we played 18 holes and coming off 18, I said, you know, you've got a great future. If you hit the ball like that, you know, you're a fantastic game. Your whole game, brilliant. So when we came off, we went in, we sat outside and we ordered something. Well, they ordered a pint of Guinness each. And so McFadden said, what was it like when you were leading the Open? And Xander said, oh, well, yeah, you know, I should have won. I choked a bit in the last. And I'm thinking, just, who's this? So he said, what was it like? You saw your name up there, Xander Lombard. And I thought, when he said Lombard, of course, I realised who it was, because I watched the Open. So I played 18 holes. I was out there for 4.5 hours with this guy. I didn't know his second name. I thought he was just a young lad starting. So I said, oh, look, he said, no. He said, I loved it. I love playing here. He said, it's a fabulous course. I love playing with you. And he said, I'm a Man United fan. So he said, it's been great and hopefully we can play again. And I said, oh, well, I do apologise. I didn't realise who you were. So he said, no, it's not a problem. So, of course, McFadden and Pagey were laughing their heads off, you know. So, how embarrassing, Callum. Don't get old. It comes with old age.
Absolutely. That's a great story, as I say. I just love the fact that when they mentioned the Open, I just wish we could see your face at that moment.
Oh, you have no idea. I was looking for a hole to crawl into. I nearly went under the table. I kept sliding down the chair. but he was very, very courteous and very, very nice. What a nice guy. And I obviously wish him all the best for the future.
I say this every single time we record. Thank you so much to everyone who listens, because we're inundated with questions. and I'm going to do my best to get through every single one of them. Thank you so much for the support, because it makes the show very interesting. First question's from Dale. He's asking, how on earth do you take the number 7 jersey off of George Best when you join Manchester United?
It was easy. Why not? They just paid a record fee for me. I was supposedly the top winger in the country. That's why Matt bought me. And I wanted to play number 7. And Best, he didn't bother. He was absolutely fine. You know, he got the number 11 shirt. And I said, we've become great friends, which I've said before. And we're great friends till, sadly, the day he left us. So it wasn't a problem. But and I think it worked out all right. Yeah, worked out well for him, worked out well for me.
Next question is from Regan Jones. He's asking, do you keep any memorabilia from your playing days at all?
Any memorabilia? I've still got a tie, Regan, and it's the Red Devils tie that we were given when we were playing in the European Cup. That's what we were given. Other than that, most of my stuff, we didn't get any shirts because you weren't allowed to exchange a shirt or take a shirt apart from an odd game. And also, we had a blazer with the Manchester United badge on. And I swapped that. And his name escapes me. He was a Celtic goalie. Callum, I need your help. They just won the European Cup, 1969? 67. And we played them. We met them in New York. We were playing in a little tournament with Lazio, Celtic, ourselves, and somebody else. That'd be 1969. And
Ronnie Simpson?
No, it wasn't Ronnie. Fallon? Not Fallon. His name. My God. So, he saw the, you know, we had the, because obviously we had blazers when we were travelling, and he saw it and he said, oh, Willie, that would be, oh, I'd love to have that. So, I said, well, what, do you have a Celtic? He said, yeah, I've got a Celtic blazer. I said, well, if I give you this, you could send it to my dad, because obviously my dad's a massive Celtic supporter. And anyway, I gave him my blazer. Never saw the Celtic one, never arrived. No. No, honestly. Oh, what was he? Oh. Anyway, his name will come to me, Callum. I will find out. Anyway, if you're listening, or at all, and you're still alive, if you're still alive, that jacket, that blazer, you can still send it. Callum will give you my address. So, but memorabilia, we didn't have that much. It wasn't like that. Boots. I've got some old boots. I think we've got holes everywhere. But not a lot. No, we didn't. We didn't keep a lot. Most of the stuff I had, I gave away. I gave most of the stuff away. At the time when you're doing it, you don't think, you know, when you're old, you'd love to have it. You'd love to have it in the house. I've got a few Scotland things, but no United stuff. Other than pictures. Got some great pictures.
Regan also wants to know, who are your top 5 football players of all time?
Of all time? Pelé, Messi, goes without saying. Puskas, that would be 3. Besti, great player. And Jimmy Greaves. Jimmy Greaves, a great player. There were so many, you know. I could take a list of 50 and give you a list of 50 great, great players from that era. I mean, Eusebio, Di Stefano, they're just so many. And it is difficult to just to pick five. I'd hate to pick an all-time 11. That'd be very difficult. Because the goalie would stump me right away. Because you've got three of the great goalkeepers. You've got Schmeichel, Gordon Banks, and Pat Jennings. All of them phenomenal. Who do you pick? Or who do you leave out? Not who you pick, who do you leave out? There were so many great players from the past because they had ability. You know, that's what made them great. They had great natural ability. So, but those five, yeah, they'll be up there. They'll be up there.
Otterman62 on Twitter has got in touch to say, when Willie joined United in 1968, was he aware of a feeling that the club had peaked by winning the European Cup? And did it feel that the club took their foot off the gas?
They didn't take the... No, I didn't realise they'd peaked. It was only after I came. And then the players were starting to retire. You know, Bill Phelps, Shea Brennan. Paddy was getting towards the end. Bobby was getting towards the end, retirement. Nobby moved on. It was, and Dennis was, you know, at the end of his career. I didn't think like that. It wasn't, they just won the European Cup, which was fantastic. I know I'm going to be playing in Europe, in the European Cup the following year. So, and the World Club Championship, which we did against the Estudiantes, we were robbed. And no, they didn't take the foot off the gas. The saddest thing that happened, obviously, that question was when the gaffer retired. We didn't expect that. I didn't expect that when he retired. That was hard, and that was the cause of, you know, the change that we went through, and it was a long, hard slog. But I hope that answers your question.
Well, he's also got a follow-up to the question that says, with hindsight, is there a particular player from that era who you think United should have bought who would have made a difference?
Yeah, two. Not one, two. Which they tried to buy, and they didn't buy. One was Alan Ball, and the other one was Mike England. And both would have been fantastic. We signed Ian New instead, and it was the wrong thing completely. After Bill retired, we were desperate for a centre-half. And Mike England went to Spurs instead. And, of course, the wee man Bolly, who's, I told you, one of my two great friends in football. Bolly went down to Arsenal. And I know that United looked to sign them both, and they were just too slow in doing it. And those would have made a massive difference. Bolly in midfield and Mike at the back would have made a massive difference. So, yeah, that's a regret.
A question from Lynn Cameron, who's a big fan of the show. She said, I have a question for Willie. I really loved your book, and I was wondering if you would please write a follow-up.
Oh, you know, I know they've only used about 10% of what we put on tape. It took us 2 years putting it on tape. And I know that there's another 90% still on tape that they've not used. But, you know, it's hard work going out doing book signings. And, I mean, it looks great and it sounds easy, but we've looked at it. We're still looking at it. They wanted me to do a follow-up for China, for Hong Kong and China, to sell it over there, to do it over there. And I'm not saying no, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But I'm glad you enjoyed. You know, I've not actually read the book. I've seen the pictures, but I've not actually read the whole book. So I feel it's just a bit strange reading what you've said, you know. But maybe one day, maybe one day. But I'm glad you enjoyed that one anyway.
If you don't write a follow-up book, would you consider a film or a documentary about your life?
Would I? It's not up to me. I know there's two documentaries out there about me. One's in America, as I've said before. It's NBC, I think it was, which is a coast-to-coast one, you know, the biggest station in America. They did a documentary on me, which was shown out in America. And also the BBC did one here, and I've not seen either. Obviously, I've not seen either of them. So do another one. Getting a little bit old, you know, I need some makeup and maybe dye my hair to do it, to do one. But would I say no? I don't know. We'll see.
Kevin Watson wants to know, who was the best player you played with at Scotland? And then who was the best player at club level?
Best player I played with at Scotland? You know, at club level, I've already said Brian O'Neill, and you won't know who he is, Kevin, but Brian O'Neill was fantastic. He was a right half. I don't know if you'll understand, unless you're of a certain age, you won't know what that means. He was a right half and played right behind me, and he fed me all day long. International level, you know, it was just a great Scottish team. Every player in their own position was great. Going, start from the goalie, right the way through Jim Owen, the centre half, Dennis up front, Davy Hay, Sandy Jardine, Danny McGrath. I mean, it was just a great team. You know, they were all great players in their own right. Joe Jordan. So picking one, and you know, the only thing I would say, as good as we were at the World Cup, and it was a great Scottish team, I think if we had Jim McAleog in the team, left midfield as they call it now, I think we would have beat Brazil and we would have beat Yugoslavia and could have gone on and won the World Cup that year. I think Jim McAleog would have been perfect. They played Kenny there, and now Kenny, great centre forward, but he wasn't a left half or left midfield. And I feel if Jim McAleog had been in the team, that would have made a massive difference to us as well. So, but picking one is very difficult to pick one. So I think the whole team and the whole squad. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, just all great players. And the original team I played when I started with Jim Baxter in the team, Willie Henderson. There were just so many great players. So we're still looking for some more for the next Scotland team to go to the World Cup.
Hugh wants to know, what's your feeling when players nowadays say they would rather finish fourth than win the FA Cup?
Wow, Hugh, that sounds like a coach talking. You know, the FA Cup is fantastic to win. Fantastic. To win the FA Cup is a great achievement. So to say you want to finish fourth, not for me. He wouldn't be in my team. Whoever said that wouldn't be in my team, Hugh.
Our next question is from Peter. An interesting question. I'm always nervous to ask it when we get questions like this. Now that you and the doc are a lot older, have you spoken and would you speak again?
Peter, he's a lot older. I'm not. There's a difference. Would I speak again? Would I speak again? Peter. What a good question. Well, I'd either speak again or at Topham. Be one of the two. Whichever one. You know something? I thought the world of him. You know, the sad thing is, Peter, well, as you know, on record, I got him the job at Old Trafford. And as a Scotland manager, he was fantastic. So don't take anything away from the Scotland management. You know, he was fantastic for Scotland. Sadly, you know, it didn't work out. And what he did was, what he did, not just to me, but what he did to other players, you just don't do that. And it's very sad for me because I thought the world of him. You know, I really did think the world of the guy. You know, I don't know. I said, be one or the other. We'll either become great friends again or I'll shoot him. One of the two.
Kim O'Connor wants to know, do you think Sir Matt Busby was similar to Sir Alex Ferguson in terms of management style? Was he as strict?
Do you think he was similar? No. The gaffer, Mr. Busby, was the greatest manager of all time, and you could only learn from him. Was he as strict? Yes, he was. But he was strict in a completely different way. You know, the fact that, you know, the difference in them, Alex demanded respect from his players. Matt commanded respect. There's a massive difference. But no one, you know, yes, if you stepped out of line, which very rarely happened, very, very rare, he would sort you out. But you didn't do it because you had so much respect for the guy that you didn't take liberties and you didn't do anything. So a different style of management. You know, Alex did what he did and he did, obviously did fantastic. But I don't think, you know, he got rid of so many players that at the time, I mean, David Beckham, Van Nistelrooy, Stam, and it went with a bitter taste. Brian Robson even left a bitter taste. Well, that never happened with Matt. It would never happen. So just a different style of management. But at the end of the day, both of them were successful.
Jackie Edge, big fan of the show. She wants to know, do you regret not going into management?
Sometimes. Very rare. If I'm having a bad round on the golf course, I think, wow, why didn't I just go to management instead of put myself through this purgatory, Jackie? I do occasionally. It's easy to sit and criticise people, you know, an easy thing to do because I've never put my money where my mouth is. But I do believe implicitly, even today, I can walk into any club in the country, and I'll make them, within a year, I'll make them 10 times better than they already are. And I do believe that. I don't have any qualms with that. Sometimes, but not too often. But I do, yeah. I got the jobs I got offered, as I said, I didn't take because I had to move house. And the kids were at school at the time and I didn't want to move them out of schools. So was it a yes and no, you know. But in the end, I don't regret what I've done. I've been very fortunate. I've had a good life. And my golf's still good. Very important. And I couldn't get a job anyway now, Jackie, because you need a coaching badge. And the last thing I would ever do in the world was sit coaching and to get a coaching badge. Take an exam from these numpties to get a coaching badge? No, thanks.
She also wants to know, we've spoken about him briefly, so I'll keep this brief as well. When was the last time you seen the doc?
In court.
I thought that would be the answer, but she wanted to know.
In court, he has avoided me. I know for many years in the court when the case got thrown out, and He was there with Mary at the time, and he looked over and I said, you ever bump into me, babe, I will kill you. And that was the last thing I ever said. And I never saw him. And I do know that for many years afterwards, he'd find out if any functions, am I going? And he wouldn't go if I was going. So that's the last time. I mean, was it 79 or something? I can't remember when the court case was, a long time ago. I wish you hadn't done it. You know, I wish you hadn't done it. Don't forget, he sued me. I didn't sue him. And yeah, I wish he hadn't done it. So life's too short.
Life is too short, as we talked about earlier. Next one, Martin Hickey. What was it like being managed by Frank O'Farrell?
Father O'Farrell, as we called him. He used to take confessions on the Friday. Frank was all right. The one thing that I credit him with, at the time, we were obviously struggling. That's why he got the job. And playing on the wing was a nightmare because, you know, you got one ball every half an hour. There was no service. So Frank said, why, you know, come back and play in midfield, right half position, and start from there. And it was great because I was involved in the game all the time. You know, it was completely different. I wasn't relying on people getting the ball to me because they weren't capable. The team that he had wasn't capable. They just weren't good enough. That's why we eventually got relegated. So the one thing I thank him for that he brought me back into midfield and, you know, playing there was not the same as being on the wing, but it was good and I enjoyed it. And but other than that, obviously he didn't make it, sadly, but he was a very nice man.
James wants to know, did you ever meet Brian Clough's assistant, Peter Taylor? And if so, what was he like? Was he anything like Brian?
Yes, I met Peter Taylor and obviously always met Cloughy. They were all, you know, they were fine. They were a great team. I mean, Peter Taylor was made for Brian Clough. They were a great team. They worked great together. Just like Sir Matt and Jimmy Murphy. They were a great team. And they were a team. You know, even though one said, well, I'm the manager. But it didn't matter. They were a great team. And he was all right, Peter Taylor. You know, what you see on the football pitch is not what people are like. You know, it's you're at war. And Cloughy, I believe, from it, the players that played under him, Kenny Burns, to name one. He said he was great off the pitch, you know, but you're not at the club. He was absolutely great. You know, like come out, have a drink with the lads, have a beer. He was very, very nice. So, and Peter Taylor, very nice as well. It's sad. I think they broke up, didn't they? They parted ways and that was sad. Because Peter Taylor was good for him.
Next one, Trev Hudson, has asked, what was Tommy O'Neill like? I always rated him as a player, but felt like he wasn't given a chance.
Tommy O'Neill. You know, again, absolutely lovely guy. You have to appreciate that nearly nearly every player, they're nice people. Tommy O'Neill was a nice guy. He did get a chance. He just wasn't good enough. But he was one of many. He was one of Wilf's. Wilf brought all these lads through way too early. They were there too early. But a really, really nice guy. Tommy, if you listen to this, pal, everything's well with you, wherever you are, wherever you went. It's a long time ago. But he wasn't quite good enough. But he was one of many that we've brought through. That's why we got relegated in the end.
Simon Prodton wants to know, why did you leave Burnley relatively quickly in 76? I can't understand why such a fine side struggled so badly when you returned. You and Mike Summerby were great signings that should have propelled the club to further success.
Why did I leave so quick? Well, when I came back, Simon, I signed a 6-year contract at Burnley. And Jimmy Adamson, the only reason I came back was because of Jimmy Adamson. Because Bob Lord and I didn't like each other from the first move. But I came back because I thought the world of Jimmy Adamson. He was a man of his word. He was a great player himself. And I liked him very much. And he convinced me to come back. And then sadly, why? I don't know how, because we'd had a good team and they were a good team. But then Bob turned on Jimmy Adamson and sacked him, gave Joe Brown the job. And with the greatest respect to Joe, Joe hadn't a clue. He could have put a lot of Stevie Wonder's out and it wouldn't have made any difference. Joe hadn't a clue. So I decided after a year, I don't think I want to be playing here under Joe. And I knew that Ian Greaves had been up. He'd asked me if I'd go to Bolton. And Bolton at the time were in the second division, but at the top. And it looked like they were going to get promotion because I'd never played in the second division other than that 1 year with United, which was a very quick season. We came right back up, as you know. So that's the reason that I left. Joe just wasn't, not for me anyway. So we came to a compromise and I joined Bolton, which was nearer home. You know, I was commuting from Manchester to Burnley for training. And it's, especially in the winter, it's a long drive. So it was easy for me. Bolton was a lot closer. And that's the main reason. But, you know, I love my time at Burnley. Harry Potter, I've said many, he was fantastic. And they were a great, great team when I joined them. So, yes, you know, apart from Blackpool, Blackpool for a short period, I've enjoyed everywhere I've been. Bolton were great. Ian Greaves was fantastic. And the Warburton brothers, George and Derek, who owned Bolton at the time, Warburton's bread, of course. They were great. They were nice people. They were fantastic people. So I've been lucky. And I said, all the moves that I've made, so I could travel. I wouldn't move. Once I moved into Manchester and the kids went to school, I didn't want to move again. So that's the reason. But leaving, yeah, the second time. If Jimmy hadn't got sacked, I'd have been there for the next 6 years. I would have stayed. So I hope that answers your question.
Raphael, a continental name here. He wants to know, why do you think Bobby Charlton wasn't a great manager?
Why do I think he wasn't a great manager? I think Bobby Charlton could have been a great manager, but he went to Preston. And he was only there a short time anyway. And it just wasn't. He, as I said, Bobby should have been given the job at Man United. And he would have been a great manager. And Preston were a very, very poor team at the time. And no matter who you are, you know, Merlin with his magic wand couldn't have made them into a team, never mind Bobby. So, and I think it took the heart out of him, you know, being a manager. So he did what we all did over here, Dennis, myself, Paddy. We all sort of retired and hung around Manchester, as we still do, still haunt Manchester. So that's why I think, but I do think he could have been a great manager. He just didn't. Preston was the wrong place to go. And he wasn't there long enough anyway.
Last question. John Bleasdale, to finish up, has asked, Which Dutch striker was the best for Manchester United? Ruud van Nistelrooy or Robin van Persie?
Nistelrooy. Nistelrooy was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So, he would score goals anywhere. He was just brilliant. He was a goal scorer. He was a Dennis Law, Jimmy Gray. He was a goal scorer. That's what he did. Van Persie, great player, but Van Nistelrooy was the finished article in goal scoring. I'd love to have played with him. He'd been great to play for. He struggled a little bit towards the end because I think Ronaldo came into the team and the service stopped to Van Nistelrooy. So, but he was a great, great finisher.
As I say, thank you to the listeners for their questions. Remember, you can send them in at FootballCFB on Twitter or at the Willie Morgan on Twitter. If you send them to either Willie or myself, we'll get them answered on the show as always. And just before we go, I've got one last wee thing for you, Willie. Today in Scotland, a lot of kids got their exam results. Very nerve-wracking day for so many. What advice would you give to the kids who've received their results today?
Treat them with a pinch of salt. Don't get too worried. You know, there's a big, big old world out there and you'll all make it anyway. So if the results were good, enjoy them. If they weren't good, don't bother.
Brilliant. That's the sort of snippet we need because there's lots of kids out there who are worried today. So that will cheer many of them up. Thank you so much for your time as always, Willie. Enjoy the golf and let us know when you've got another special guest in the golf course. And hopefully this time you recognise him.
Oh, Callum, I hope so. Well, I know Xander wants to come back and have another game at the Mia because he thought the course was fantastic. So no doubt he'll be turning up again. So I'll let you know. I'll keep you in touch.
So we'll dive down to the ocean and we'll make our home in a deep sea cave and our shells will all be open. They'll be filled with song, they'll be filled with song. We'll dive down to the ocean and we'll make our home in a deep sea cave and our shells will all be open. They'll be filled with song.